It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 9th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Recently, members of the press and others got invites to a big Apple event that is today. It's about the release of the Apple Watch and perhaps a few other things. Many people have been waiting, and the company is expected by some analysts to have yet another blockbuster on its hands or on its wrist. Other data suggests that consumers aren't necessarily interested in smartwatches, which might be why a lot of people are focused on the price range. Nice watches are usually measured in Swiss francs. Kelly Jasper is contributing editor at the watch magazine Hodinkee.
The market is for watches that are primarily quartz watches, and the consumers of these watches are looking for a price point beneath 3,000 Swiss francs and ideally beneath 500 Swiss francs. That price point at the end of the day is still considered to be a luxury purchase for many consumers around the world. And in order for Apple to really make a dent into that market, it's important to stay around that level.
Kelly Jasper at Hodinkee there. By the way, 500 francs is about 507 US dollars. We'll see how many versions of the Apple Watch come in under that price. If you know about the organization ISIS, its social media propaganda, and its brutal beheading videos, you can assume that a company like Procter & Gamble might not be too excited about being affiliated in any way. While a group of American companies, including Anheuser-Busch and Johnson & Johnson, are not happy about their ads running ahead of ISIS YouTube videos, as Gigi Duban reports.
Every minute that goes by, YouTube has 300 hours of content uploaded to its site. So the process that links ads to certain videos is automated. Google owns YouTube. Andrew Steven teaches marketing at the University of Pittsburgh.
You know, Google's very good at figuring out what you're interested in, even if you don't realize it.
Except when it's not, like in this instance. The algorithms YouTube uses are complicated, but basically it works like this. Figure out who's watching certain videos, slap on ads for things these people might like. Ari Lightman teaches digital media and marketing at Carnegie Mellon University. He says a company like P&G spends a lot of money cultivating this wholesome, family-friendly image.
And then to have it next to ISIS is very contrary to what they're trying to go after.
He says when you're dealing with huge amounts of data, these things are bound to happen. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Angie's List, providing online access to reviews of local companies and helping consumers achieve their home improvement goals, from remodeled kitchens to freshly painted houses to new landscapes. Angie'sList.com. And by Epson, with workhorse multifunction printers powered by PrecisionCore technology designed to help businesses run at full speed. Where there's business, there's Epson. And by Nuance Power PDF, designed for easy implementation to accurately convert, combine, and collaborate on business documents. Nuance.com/PowerPDF. PDF uncompromised.
A recent story about Google reminded me of the Dave Eggers novel about a tech company called The Circle. In The Circle, a massive utopian company campus threatens to swallow its employees in a work-life balance nightmare. Well, recently, Google submitted plans for its new massive corporate campus to the planning department of Mountain View, California. From the Dutch and British architect renderings, it looks pretty space age. Our friend at Slate, Will Arimus, has been poring over them.
It looks like a Ringling Brothers Circus on steroids. It is a series of dome-like structures, a little bit like circus tents, where the exterior is transparent glass, and inside are these sort of modular offices without roofs that can be moved around and reconfigured. So if they want to stop building self-driving cars in one building and instead use it to, I don't know, sell more ads, they can move out the little self-driving car structures, move in the cubicles or whatever it is they use for ad sales. The whole thing will just be as googly as you might imagine.
If it's googly, that means there will be fitness facilities, places for people to actually sleep and more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in one of these glass circus tents, the plans show a big platform with a ton of people doing yoga. I couldn't quite tell what pose they were in. It was some kind of warrior pose, I'm pretty sure, in these little schematics that Google sent to the city of Mountain View. But there were like 40 of them, and they have this sweeping view of the bay, and it's like they're on display to the entire world, just showing how fit and healthy and really utopian Google employees' lives are.
What does this tell us about how Google will develop as a company, but also the culture that it's continuing to try and create for its employees?
Well, the first thing to know about Google and the other big tech companies in Silicon Valley, when you talk about their offices, they want these to be your second home, maybe your first home. And so it's just a way to try to wring as much productivity out of these employees as they can. You know, the companies are competing on perks. The offices are big selling points when they bring somebody in for an interview. There's such competition for engineering talent in Silicon Valley these days. And Google is trying to keep up with its rivals.
How is the municipality reacting to these tech companies that are trying to build these giant things?
The city of Mountain View in particular is a little wary. It doesn't just want to become a Google company town. I mean, these cities have seen what happens with the tech boom and bust cycle. And when it goes bust, they're left holding all of this empty office space, and it really depresses the economy. And even when things are going well, they're wary because it brings tons of traffic that these suburban cities aren't really equipped to handle. So I think you'll see Mountain View try to scale back Google's ambitions here. They may play Google off of some of the other developers that want this same space. I don't think you'll end up seeing quite the utopian vision that Google has come to reality in Mountain View.
Will Arimus, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben.
And I just played probably the most infuriating in-browser simulator game of all time. It's called Coop Times. You're a newspaper writer who gets story assignments and has to type them up immediately and file them to an editor under deadline, all without using, get this, the backspace button, which makes it nearly impossible. I thought games were supposed to be fun. If this sounds fun to you for some weird reason, head over to facebook.com/marketplacetech and get typing. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.